All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight. We are heading towards the final preseason game for the Colts. They will be at home against Cincinnati on our airwaves starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, and then the weekend is all about the cuts. By 1 o'clock on Sunday, they've got to cut down to 53, and then the next day they can put their practice squad together, figure out what else they're going to do with their roster. So that's all happening here from tomorrow night on. But in the meantime, also tomorrow night, a big, huge football game here in Bloomington, maybe one of the biggest ever in Bloomington. I don't want to get so crazy to call it the biggest, but it's certainly up there as number two Ohio State comes to town for the season opener against Tom Allen, his first regular season football game as head coach. ESPN Game Day will be here. Their mega cast will be all over the place. Lee Corso will be in the house. Kirk Herbstreit will be in the house. Everybody will be around to watch this one. And if you look at the rest of the slate tomorrow night, it stands out by far among the games. So the whole college football world will be watching all night long Bloomington, Indiana. And that doesn't happen very often. So it's a special night for IU and IU football and the city of Bloomington, no question about it. It should be a lot of fun. So we'll spend a lot of time tonight talking about that. And Glass, first thing right off the bat, we knock it right off. We've talked a little bit about this. Having that kind of attention on this football program, you know, the city, you know, we love Bloomington and all, but it's more about the football program when game day comes to town and what's going on with Tom Allen and where they want to go from here. Having that kind of attention of literally the entire college football world, you can't buy that kind of attention. You just can't. It's, I don't know if it's luck at this point in time, but it's going to be here and literally everybody is going to be watching. And so you have a chance to give everybody the best possible impression. And oh, by the way, recruits impressions, coaches you might want to recruit later on down the road to be part of your program, that kind of impression. You have a real chance here to let everybody know just what's going on with your program.
It is a infomercial as ESPN. You might not like them. You might not like everything they stand for or everything they do, but there is no doubt when they are in your corner, good things happen. I think I saw somewhere they're doing some kind of college football kickoff at 4, the college football scoreboard show at 5, game day at 6, and then the kickoff at 8 o'clock. When you are in their crosshairs and they have a hold of you, there is nothing better. You're going to see the stadium improvements, obviously, in the background. You're going to see the new scoreboard. You're going to see all the great stuff that's happening at Indiana University. And you're right, there's absolutely no downside to it. It is literally an infomercial. It maybe doesn't make a big deal at Alabama. Maybe it's not a big deal. I don't know, at Georgia.
They're used to it, right?
They're used to it, and we're not, so let's have some fun with it. I think the only downside, if there is a downside to it, you won't see the bizarre tailgate field in the background with all the crazy signs and everything else. That's just not how that's going to work. But this is a special occasion, and the specialty is they're here. Get over it. It's Thursday night. You're the only game in town. If you look at the other games on the docket that night, no one's turning into Minnesota Buffalo.
No.
As much as you'd like to believe that.
It's not even close.
How many ranked teams are in action? Who are they playing? I don't think that isn't even worth looking up at this point. I think there's just a couple of games. So essentially, you're the only game in town. And I think, and I mentioned this on Monday, and I haven't changed my mind even after thinking about it for a couple of days, this can't suit Indiana any better as a football team as well. They have had their attention from the minute they've walked into camp knowing this was a possibility. I think they walked into camp and announced it later that day, if I get my time right.
It was
right.
Pretty
it was
early,
really,
yeah.
Really close.
Reese Davis was on Louisville Station mid-afternoon.
Beans, yeah. And that's great. And whenever they were going to tell them, they didn't have to. It was out, and everybody heard about it. So you have – not that they're not – they were going to be unfocused if it was another opponent. Not that they were going to be unfocused if it wasn't this hoopla that goes around with it. But there's an added pride. There's an added added work ethic. There's more to it. You don't want to play every game against a top five opponent at home on college game day. Don't get me wrong. That's not how it works. But when you get that chance, that puts everybody on point. I don't know. Did it make competition any better in training camp? No, you would hope the kids would just battle for their jobs. But did it get the point across that ESPN's going to be here and you're going to be the show? Yeah, it does. It gets the point across to the alums. It gets the point across to perspectives. It gets the point across to the guys putting on the helmet for tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on ESPN. So I don't see a downside to this at all. And for Indiana football, having that focus, having that I think it maybe even a carrot. I guess that would be some way to look at it in the background of saying, look, everybody knows Ohio State's Ohio State. Everybody knows they were in the national playoffs the last 7,000 years. Everybody knows they're ranked number two in the country. You have a chance to break through, to start the breakthrough in game number one against this mega opponent on the mega cast,
yep,
at the mega crowd at your mega stadium. So that's what makes it exciting. We do have to laugh and have some fun with it because, as you mentioned accurately, this doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen every year.
It doesn't happen at all.
Yeah. So embrace it. Enjoy it. Get there early. Follow all the rules and regulations and have a great day. And we should have a great Big Ten football game.
And that's the key. Get there early. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. So, look, the team was going to be, you know, ready to play Ohio State as much as they're going to be from the standpoint of intensity and attention and all that sort of thing. There's no overlooking Ohio State because you're going to Virginia the next week. Now, they've got Oklahoma coming to town the next week, so maybe they might be looking past it a little bit. But you mentioned the carrot. I mean, the carrot is the interesting part. You know, it's not so much a carrot you have to achieve because you have no choice in it, and here it is. You know, it came anyways. But it is neat in that it gives just a bit more hype. And I don't mean just a small bit more hype, but a lot more hype to the kids because these kids have grown up. I mean, these are 18 to 22-year-old kids. They've known game day since before they were born. You know, you and I, you know, it wasn't game day 30 years ago. That didn't exist. It was goofy when it started, you know. So it's neat that it's here. But for them, that's all they've known. They've always known that game day shows up at the big event. And they've always known that game day is there if your game matters and matters the most. And so to know for 3 weeks that your game matters the most, it does put more emphasis on it. It does put more oomph behind you when you're practicing all those sorts of things gearing up for this particular game. So it does help the players. And it's, you know, later on we'll give our prediction on what we think's going on with this game. But, you know, all of that adds into kind of a mystique of a Thursday night opener when both teams haven't seen what their team looks like against an opposition team and the other talent and all that sort of thing, or how a team's going to look on the road, or how another team is going to deal with all the hype they suddenly have in their lap. There's so much going on with that right now that makes tomorrow night so intriguing once it gets to the point where you're on the field. It almost feels like the game will start at this point in time. He's got to deal with all that stuff first.
Yeah, what happened 30 years ago? Everybody likes nice round numbers. What happened in 1987?
Yeah.
30 years ago, right?
Yeah, darkest day.
Well, You don't know until you play the game, and that's the thing, though, with Ohio State. You're going to have to play a full 60 minutes. That message is easy to get through. When you play Eastern Kentucky, when you play whoever else you want to throw in there as that opening day opponent, mm-hmm, and you preach 60 minutes, and you preach every play, and you preach play to the whistle, and you say,
right,
and some of the kids, again, that are on the fence will say, come on, coach, it's Eastern Kentucky.
It is exactly right.
I don't think you'll have that problem this week, and that's kind of the angle I was going at. That stuff matters now because it's a tangible premier program. Number one, it's a conference game. Number two, it's a division game.
Yep.
You want to just keep checking off all the stuff that goes along with this. You're not going to stop. When was the last time the number two ranked team in the country was here? When was the last time Indiana opened with a Big Ten opponent? I think it was 1982, Northwestern.
82, yeah. It doesn't happen often that you get the ranked here, too, but obviously
Ohio
State.
You keep lining all these things up, and it's a brand-new head coach, and you can even throw the Wilson thing over to the side as well, and you've got the new South End Zone facility coming up, and it's just all this positive stuff that, to be fair, over the years in Indiana football, we haven't had folders and folders and file folders to go through to remind people of.
Right.
There haven't been that many.
The game is sold out,
wonderful
by the
things.
Way.
Is that official now?
They have released it. Ohio game is sellout.
Excellent. And yes, Indiana does release when their games are sold out because, adding to fuel on the fire, mm-hmm, it doesn't happen all of that often.
Capacity crowd listed 52,929, they say.
And Fred Glass thought that was going to be the case about 10 days ago, yeah, and he was absolutely right. We've seen as well, lots of parking is already gone.
Yeah.
So that's what comes with this. And if you want to be a big-time football program, and what Indiana fan doesn't aspire to be, at least knocking on that door one day, this would be an excellent foundation to start. Would it mean that breakthrough and love each other and everything they've done in the offseason is perfect and they're going to go unbeaten? No, it doesn't. But what it would do, it would add tangibility to everything that Fred Glass has dreamed out loud about, mm-hmm. that Tom Allen has dreamed out loud about, and that Tom Allen's players have believed in from him, starting with the defense last year, and now that whole team taking over it. But you have to play 60 minutes. You have to beat Ohio State. It's not easy. You can count Ohio State's losses in their last 5 years on probably just two hands. Mm-hmm. They don't happen very often. So the challenge is very real. The opportunity is factual. And if Indiana can play well and keep the ball and not turn it over, all those little things you talk about every single week, you and I talk about every Wednesday mm-hmm. night, stay out of your own way, make life uncomfortable for them, and play football. And you just never know what happens. Early game, early part of the season.
Yeah.
If you ask me when I'd like to play Ohio State from a fan's point of view, I'd say Ohio State right now. Right now. They've got guys having their parents release on social media that are on the starting team.
Yep.
They have people celebrating playing and starting at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Which is a tradition.
It is. And those are things they worry about.
Yeah.
And other things they worry about are Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And other things they worry about is, should I make my Final Four reservations in whatever city it is now?
Right.
Or should I wait till Halloween? Do I wait till the next game? Sometimes the game is a little bit bigger for them, interestingly enough, than maybe it would be for Indiana University, because they have so many things around it and surrounding their program that makes them a big-time program, that sometimes, just sometimes, we saw it with Virginia Tech a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
we've seen some games where you scratch their head and wonder, who are these guys? And Indiana has given Ohio State, I don't want to say a run for their money. That sounds a little too fourth quarter-ish.
Not quite, but
they've been in enough ball games leading in the third quarter
no
at
question.
Ohio State last year. Those
no
are
question.
Facts.
Yep.
And how can any of that deter Indiana? If this was Ohio State had beaten Indiana 62-3, 49-3, 56-10, two things.
Yeah.
Game day wouldn't be here.
They wouldn't be here.
Game
That's
day
right.
wouldn't be here. So the Hoosiers have, in a sense, earned themselves a trip to this place tomorrow. The place is right here, but to the game day level. And they have a real chance, because when you play real football, Dave, in the Big Ten, there is not a day where you say, this can't happen.
Yep.
It can't.
We'll talk a little bit more about Ohio State later in the show.
But
first, let's talk about IU, because it starts with what IU is going to do. And on offense, there are a lot of question marks with this football team. Now, under Kevin Wilson, the offense would always manage to generate offense. Now, it had its own question marks over time. Remember that. Let's not forget, this was not always smooth sailing to create the offense that they did. You know, they went through three quarterbacks in 1 year. Troy Roberson broke his leg, and they had to throw Nate Sudfeld and Cam the Cam kid out there for a while.
Cam Kaufman.
Yeah, Cam Kaufman. So, I mean, they've had times where they've had to generate stuff with Xander Diem on it. I mean, whatever it took, they had to find a way. And right now, at the very least, they have a fifth-year quarterback coming back. Big, strong kid. Big, accurate kid. You know, at least at times, it is fair to question his 17 interceptions last year and need him to get better at that. This team will absolutely need that. But you've got that a year's experience under his belt. You've got some question marks at other spots. Your offensive line is very young and doesn't have all that much experience. You've got 2 years of starting, one each from Wes Martin and Coy Kronk. But other than that, it's some spot duty from other guys. So how is that group going to perform is always first and foremost in my mind, especially against a defensive line. Again, we'll talk more about it later. But, their coach, the defensive line coach there, is a former head coach at Tampa Bay Buccaneers and at Rutgers, Greg Schiano. Wow. He says this is the best defensive line group he's ever seen. He doesn't mean just four guys. He means eight guys. They've got eight guys they can throw out there right now that they think are going to get drafted into the NFL. Not a guy that's going to get drafted and some other guys that maybe get into camps. No, they think all eight of those guys are going to get drafted. They are really talented. That's the recruiting difference between Ohio State and Indiana. So right there, how is the offensive line going to do? It would be foolish to think the IU offensive line is going to walk out the door and hang 600 yards on that Ohio State defense. So that makes holding onto the ball, not turning it over, making smart plays across the board, and, oh, by the way, trying to get a couple shots down the field and catch them in a couple spots. That makes all that of the utmost importance. Turnovers are of the utmost importance in this game. Usually are anyways, are very important. In this one, even more so, because the offense has got to manage to get something consistent done against a very, very good defense and not put their defense in a bad way. Their defense returns a lot of kids, so don't put them in a bad spot. Wide receiver-wise, you've got some playmakers. I mean, there's question marks who's going to play the most, and that sort of thing. Is Simi Cobb's going to have to sit out a game? You know, is Nick Westbrook, what's going on with him? He's behind Donovan Hale now, so on and so forth. Who's your running back? There are still a lot of question marks there, but, you know, there's enough of those question marks where Ohio State doesn't know exactly what we're going to do here. That's the other part. They saw what DeBoer did at Tennessee, but they don't know what he's going to do with Indiana either. So you got a chance to throw some things at Ohio State's defense that they don't know that's coming, and that's always one of the things that's exciting about the first game.
And add to your turnovers. Penalties haven't bothered. This hasn't been a big penalty team
over the last
couple of years. But the other thing is, when you have a quarterback that you want to get comfortable, when you have a quarterback, as we've heard Mike DeBoer talk about all week, about don't be a hero, run the plays we call. Mm-hmm. You got to catch the ball. You've got to tuck the ball away. You've got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. Just because you're on game day in ESPN doesn't mean you need to take on seven guys, reach for the extra yard, and get the ball knocked out.
Right.
You
don't be a hero is a great way to put it.
Exactly. You got to have some football noose there to remember, hey, look, 60 minutes is a long time. So start off doing the things correctly. Start off using that. But I like the point about how do you attack Ohio State's defense. Well, there's very few that have done it successfully. Mm-hmm. And the way you do it, in my opinion, is death of 1,000 paper cuts. Mm-hmm. Sure, it'd be great to have a big play. When would you ever turn one down?
Yeah.
But when you can move the ball on them through the running attack, through the passing attacks, through the short game passing, through maybe even the quarterback running a little bit, you're going to have to give them something, which, again, they're not going to be sure of what that is because Kevin Wilson was the offensive coordinator last year. You have an angle to get at them, and it doesn't have to get at them in chunks. And I think some people, when they watch big games, expect big plays all the time. That's nice if you're a fan.
Sure.
That's nice if it's if you're a neutral and you think this game is going to be super high scoring. You want all the crazy stuff happening. If you're Indiana, what's the best way to be in this game? I think it's chewing up time of possession.
Yeah.
The toughest part to that answer is Indiana doesn't have Jordan Howard to feed the ball 20 times.
Right.
It doesn't have Tevin Coleman. It doesn't have even Devine Redding. 1,000-yard back two years in a row. Tough, I mean, those are big things.
Tough physical back.
So the guys who are going to get their chance or chances are going to have to execute. And if you have to go through four or five, six running backs and one of them's freshman Morgan Ellison, he's an Ohio kid, you know what? I think you're going to see a lot from Indiana because they haven't been settled on a group of two or three backs. It's four or five. Every time you ask the coaches, it's four or five backs.
Yep.
It's four or five freshmen who are going to play. It's a group of wide receivers. You got some tall ones. You got some small ones. You got some ones in between. If you can pick apart Ohio State, you're not going to pick on Ohio State,
right,
but you can pick at them. I think that's what Indiana's going to have to do. They're going to have to control the football. You're right. You can't turn it over. You can't shoot yourself in third and 18s. You can't have the ball three and out, put your defense out, three and out.
2 years ago, I think we ran the ball 52 times against them here, and it didn't have a ton of production. It
shorten
didn't that
game.
Night. But that's what you did. You shortened it. You kept your defense off the field a little bit. You made every play on offense that Ohio State ran had more importance to them because now there was more pressure on them because you were holding onto the ball for a longer time. That, you know, that is a good thing, and especially in this game because we haven't even talked about Ohio State's offense. There's plenty of explosiveness over there. And Kevin Wilson, who's, you know, knows to throw it all over the place and run it, but you don't know what that offense is going
to
do.
And back to your point of explosiveness, Ohio State's defense is explosive. You just told me about how many guys are going to get drafted, not go to training camp, get drafted.
Just on the defensive
line. So what you can't do if you're Indiana is you can't turn them into SportsCenter top plays.
Exactly.
You can't be – you have to know your reads. You have to know your assignments. And simply you have to do your job. If you're thinking, well, he's getting beat a little bit, I'm going to go over there and help. Well, who are you helping off of? One of these guys that are going to get drafted. You have to do your job. Mike DeBoer has been around SEC football. He's been around SEC defenses. That helps. Tom Allen, where did he coach before South Florida? Ole Miss for three
years.
SEC defenses. Why do I bring that up? Well, it seems like every year the SEC's entire defense is drafted in the NFL. They have an idea of the speed. They have an idea of what athletic players can do. Now, how do you move the chess pieces around the board to get at them, to nibble at them, and to keep your quarterback, who had some interception problems last year, what is the easiest way to make him comfortable? I don't think it's seven-step drops to get that front seven up and at him. I think you're going to see maybe some quick hitting things, Dave. That's my feel.
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of stuff out of the backfield, and you're going to figure out really quickly tomorrow night which running backs are going to play the most if they can pick up in pass protection and if they can hang on to the football, because those are two huge keys tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, what might be – interesting. If I'm projecting at this point what I think is going to happen a little bit, first of all, you pointed out the one of them really obviously, and that's get the ball out of Richard Leggo's hands quickly.
Don't let that line feast on him.
There's athletes all over the Ohio State defense, but getting your athletes, which right now, if you look at the offensive side of the ball for the Hoosiers, the athletes up, you know, at the skill positions, for lack of better terms, those are your best assets right now on offense. Your quarterback and the guys that you can get the ball to. Your offensive line has promise, but it's very young and inexperienced. So I say it again, if you're going to beat your head into the ground and think you're going to gain 300 yards rushing up front, I think that's crazy. Now, you're going to do some, you're going to keep it up, and you're going to try, no question about it. But a theme will be, let's get the ball out quickly. Are they quick slants? Are they quick hitches? Are they just quick goes? Is it a flare pass to your running backs? I mean, how are you going to do all that? It's going to be out of Richard Leggo's hands quickly. In a lot of cases. So that's the first step to it, is I think you've got to have the ball out there. The last couple of years, we've seen Indiana use one and two tight ends mostly in the running game. Guys, they've stuck around. Maybe you have some motion and wingbacks and all that kind of thing, but it's mostly involved to get extra blockers in the running game. In this game, I think you put a couple more times, you're going to put extra skill guys out there in order to get the ball out quickly. Try to get one-on-ones, try to get people out in space. There's a give and take here. Do you run it 40, 50 times thinking you're going to eventually pop something and you want to try to control the clock? Again, I don't think this is the offensive line that's going to really do that for you all night long. That doesn't mean you abandon it completely. I just think you're going to see more where you try to get your skill players out into space and get the ball out of Richard Leggo's hands more quickly.
Big targets, Simi Cobb, 6'4", Donovan Hale, 6'4", Nick
guys,
Westbrook,
yeah.
6'3". Mm-hmm. Obviously, Ian Thomas has been taught he's going to create some matchup issues as well. You got to catch the ball when it's thrown to you. You've got to block the man in front of you. You can't turn the ball over. It's not a huge formula. I'm excited to see what Mike DeBoard has, because nobody in these here parts with these here offensive players has seen much of what Coach DeBoard has.
And very productive offense at Tennessee last year.
They only averaged how many points a game and how many yards? Yeah, it's an upper 30s and 500 mm-hmm. and change. So the Hoosiers have a very big task in front of them. But this is why you play the game, and it'll be exciting to see how Indiana's offense attacks Ohio State's defense. I don't know if that's the right word, but I would say attacks, because, Dave, I don't think sitting back and hoping is going to work too much.
No, I mean, if this were Kevin Wilson's offense, they'd go deep. They'd go, you know, they'd throw it as much as possible. They'd run it. I mean, there's no question. They'd go at him. And they'd come in with the attitude that we're going to go at him. And I think
Absolutely.
That's part of it. Even if you're getting the ball out of Leggo's hands quickly, you want to try to get some plays made, and you want to give those guys a chance to do so. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Got a big weekend planned because it's Labor Day weekend and because we do sports in the fall. But we start tonight right after the show with the Mets in town for the Reds. And that starts 7 o'clock, so you won't want to go anywhere. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, 6 o'clock will be pregame and 7 o'clock kickoff for the Colts' final game of the preseason against the Cincinnati Bengals up at Lucas Oil Stadium. Cuts have to happen by 1 o'clock on Sunday, so they pare down from their 90 to 53 all in one swoop this time around, which is a lot smarter. But that'll have to happen after game 4, which is tomorrow night here on WGCL. Friday night, we start up again with high school football. Cloverdale comes to town to face the Edgewood Mustangs over at the Mustang Corral. 6:30 is Chalk Talk, and 7:30 is kickoff for that. And then on Saturday, we start off our college football broadcasting. We've got Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, 7 o'clock, Louisville is playing Purdue at Lucas Oil Stadium. And then on Sunday at 7 o'clock, it'll be Texas A&M at UCLA. So if you look at WGCLradio.com, you can find all of our NFL and NCAA football schedule. And there are a lot of games, so you will want to check it out. I mean, a lot of games going on. So definitely look that up. Pretty much everything NFL-wise on the odd nights and a couple
Thursday
games on
night,
Sundays. And
Sunday.
You name
Sunday
it.
Sunday night. Monday night.
Everything.
Football seems to be pretty popular with folks.
And oh, by the way, because of Labor Day, we will not be doing a show Labor Day night. But the following Monday is the first Monday of the regular season of the NFL. We will have Monday Night Football for you, and therefore we will be with you for longer periods of time, like we've done the last couple years. We'll be with you until 7:45 most Monday nights throughout the course of the fall.
And we'll wrap up the Colts' trip to Los Angeles and take care of all the details that go with the opening of the NFL season. Geez, who'll be the quarterback? What's going on? Colts have plenty of questions to answer. I think that would be putting it mildly.
All right, we're heading back then to Indiana and Ohio State. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. This is tomorrow night, of course. Kickoff is 8 o'clock on ESPN, and there's a whole litany of stuff going on from the area there, starting at 4 o'clock, believe it or not, on ESPN or the Deuce or one of those. It's on all of them. You name it, turn it on, you'll see Bloomington and Memorial Stadium. But looking at the other side of the ball, we talked a lot about the IU offense. The IU defense returns a lot of players. You lose
nine.
Marcus Oliver. You lose Ralph Green. These are two important players to this defense. Marcus Oliver was banged up last year playing with a hamstring or something that slowed him down a little bit. He was still productive, especially productive getting the ball out of the hands of the opposition. And that makes a big, big difference. So can someone step up? Can someone, if not lots of someones, be the guys that start to create turnovers more regularly for this defense without Marcus Oliver? Because as well as they played, and they did play very well, that also of creating turnovers, that addition is a huge part of the defense last year. So you'd like to see that continue. Can someone else do that? I don't know, but I know you got one of the best linebackers in the entire NCAA in Tigray Scales, and you might have two of the better safeties in Jonathan Crawford and Marcelino Ball.
Tom Allen has mentioned it more than once. He doesn't care what you did last year. It's last year. If you're going to spend all camp and if you're going to spend all the pregame patting yourself on the back and remembering who's put you on watch lists and who's told you you're great and who's told you you've done this or that, you're getting lost. You're not doing your job. You're not staying on message. You're not staying focused. And this is going to be a true test of that. The good news is the people we were talking about, with the exception of Baller upperclassmen, Tigray Scales is a senior. Rashard Fant's a senior. Mm-hmm. They've been recognized. Why were they recognized? For their performance on the field last year. And, again, Rashard Fant doing some great things off the field. Not to diminish that, but we're talking about football right now. The point is, if these were sophomores with these accolades, I'd itch a little bit. I'd scratch a little bit, wondering, you know, they're maybe not as mature as you'd like, maybe not as smart as you'd like. That's not the case with Scales and Fant.
There's a lot of experience and older guys on this defense.
And that's a part I like, because I think they could handle these accolades, because it's not going to be a big deal to them per se. Hey, great, I was recognized, had a big year, led the league in tackles, whatever, I'm over it. I led the nation in pass breakups, whatever. You've done nothing this year. And you don't get three games to ease into your conference schedule. You don't get three home games before jumping into this. We've seen that in some years. Mm-hmm. You get Ohio State. So these guys have to lead from the front. There's no question that you'd love to have Marcus Oliver and Ralph Green. Everybody turns over players. Everybody sends players to the next level. Somebody has to step up. That's right. The good news is, I hope that, and I know that, I have a pretty good feeling that Tigray Scales isn't going to try to do 73 different things because he has some accolades under his belt. Tigray Scales has been in the wars. Tigray Scales has played a lot of downs since his freshman year. He has gotten to this point because he hasn't tried to cover for everybody else and try to make everybody else's plays. That's the good news. Rashard Fant, a little bit different with a cornerback, Dave. You're on the island.
Yeah.
You're out there by yourself. Yeah. But again, peering
you
into the backfield trying to make
you
that.
You need it. I mean, you're going to get punched in the mouth
absolutely.
A few times, too.
Absolutely. So you have some key players with experience, and I don't think they're going to get caught up in the moment. I don't think they're going to let their teammates get caught up in the moment. Whether they do or not, that's left to be seen in why you play the game. But I think Indiana has foundation for what they did defensively last year under Tom Allen and how they made that large jump. Tom Allen said, he goes, hey, moving it from 120 to 50-ish, that can be done. If you want to be great, you move it from 50 to 25, and you don't get a week off to think about it. You don't get a couple games to get your feet into it. You have to get into it, and the opponent's going to force you to, and I think that's what's encouraging. Can Indiana find some depth and rotation through that defensive line? That's going to be another thing. Ohio State, what does Urban Meyer love to do? Not throw the deep ball. Not throw 50 passes a game.
He likes to pound you.
He likes to pound you,
and
because he likes to
read and run the quarterback.
Yep. And he likes to control the clock, and that's what's made him pretty successful over the years. So guys have to do their jobs. It's so boring and basic, but it's true. And I think Indiana, with those nine starters coming back, have tasted the Big House. They've been to the Horseshoe, mm-hmm. Happy Valley. That's just their division.
Yeah, right.
That's just their division annually. The moment I don't think should be too big for them, and I think it's a moment they can seize.
No, it sets up as a really, really interesting night. And you see this occasionally. One of those Thursday nights where, you know, you've been building and building and building and building. Weird things happen on that first weekend. They just do. If you look at Ohio State.
We got a full
State,
moon? I'm going to check that. We got a full moon going on there?
I don't know if we do. That'd be
just
even
throw
more
some more gas on the fire.
Look, you're going up against Ohio State. Everybody knows that Ohio State has got among the best talent in the entire, you know, NCAA. You know, Alabama's got slightly more, but there aren't many more that are going to claim that. You can throw a handful, maybe, but Ohio State is going to have the best talent of anybody out there. You know that. You're going to have to limit mistakes. You're going to have to minimize them. You're going to have to come away with a couple plays that at the end of the day, Hoosier fans go, wow. How did he do that?
Well, that's how you win those
games.
Not
12
right.
of them necessarily.
Well, it'd help.
A couple of them, you know, would certainly help you out. Beating Ohio State anywhere at this stage for Indiana, who doesn't measure up talent for talent exactly, it's unrealistic. Let's be fair about it. It is. It's
on paper.
Unrealistic on paper. On paper. You're exactly right to do that. And even if you throw it all out there and line them up, they probably shouldn't do it, but you do play the games for a reason. And occasionally you get that goofy block punt that happened for Penn State, and that's what turned their game around. And suddenly they're Big Ten champions.
That's how that worked
out. I'm not making that prediction for Indiana.
No, but I think that
you're talking about one night to shock the world. And that's what it would be if Indiana wins this game, and everybody will be there to see it.
And I think that point is accurate in the sense it's not a five. It's not a best of five. It's not a best of seven.
It's once.
You have to play them one time. And special teams, you touched on that. Indiana's kicking game has had not the most fluidity to it over the last year and some change. They have a new punter, perhaps, on the scene. We'll have to see who gets the starting.
Sure.
It's the Australian kid is listed number one on the depth chart. And
a pair of backups are an oar.
And an oar and a partridge and a pear tree.
Wasn't Griffin Oaks' best season last year?
You've got kickers, oar, and you've got long snappers, and you've got holders, and you've got all these other things to go with it. And as great as we point out Ohio State to be, they do have human beings playing as well, and they do have some kids playing as well.
Yep.
These things happen. Pressure affects teams differently. And the pressure in this game is not even close to being on Indiana's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ohio State knows if they lose, if comes into their world.
Yeah.
And that's pressure.
Right.
If they get beat, all of a sudden, they're under the microscope for the next 11 games.
Everything
and
that's realistically possible at the beginning of the year for them, which is a national championship, is extremely realistic for them.
Yes.
At the end of the year, if they lose this particular game, you're exactly right. They have to go the whole rest of the year making up for it.
And if that creeps into your mind in the second quarter or the third quarter or at all, Indiana doesn't turn the ball over. Indiana's fifth-year senior quarterback displays the poise and leadership that we've heard all camp about him. If Indiana's running back army goes four or five or six deep and gets contributions fresh running at that Ohio State defense, you can point to things that makes this possible.
Absolutely.
And if you want to call me a homer, call me homer all you want. That's fine. I'm also a realist, and I watch enough football to know. Name a team in the last 10 years. And I don't have this answer, but I think I do. In the Big Ten, who hasn't claimed a pelt of this size? I have one.
Who hasn't claimed?
Who has not. Right up there, 17th Street.
Yeah. At the
Northwestern
time,
has?
At the time, you thought Michigan State was a pretty
Illinois
big one last
beaten,
year, but not this big.
Illinois has beaten Ohio State recently?
Yeah, it's been a few years. But yeah.
Five or six, but.
Yeah, but they've done it over times.
Indiana hasn't.
Yeah.
Northwestern?
No, that's exactly right.
Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Rutgers, Maryland, too new to the party.
We haven't beaten Ohio State or Michigan.
88?
At least. We haven't beat Michigan since 87. I know that.
Okay, well, Ohio State was 88 here.
Ohio State was 88. We tied them maybe 2 years later. Yeah, I mean, that's right.
Okay.
We've beaten Penn State, but it was 3 or 4 years ago.
Beat them, though.
When they weren't very good, but that's all right.
We're talking about a top five victory.
Yeah, exactly.
Every team in the league has found one.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And it's just one of those deals where are the stars aligned? Are the coaches coaching? Or is the message loud and clear? It's very interesting because the game isn't played on paper, and pressure does affect coaches. Pressure does affect players. And when you put that all in the blender, Dave, in 60 minutes and shake it up, usually 9 times out of 10 at the end of these, you say, well, the best team won.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case tomorrow night, and it's Ohio State, there's probably going to be some reasons for it. And if Indiana pulls the upset, which it would be, playing the number two team in the country, that's 21 a fair point, upset, 21 point underdog
right in Vegas.
That will be because not of Ohio State's doing per se. Indiana will have plenty to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the exciting part. Go out and make plays, take care of your responsibilities, take care of your football, and take away the ball from them.
Yeah.
That's what Tom Allen talks about. Now put it in play against one of the best teams in the country. You couldn't be more excited as a fan, yeah. And you shouldn't be any more excited. You should be even more excited as a player. This is the game
and
right now.
God forbid you lose if
Not
you're
for
Indiana.
Them, for us.
You know, it doesn't ruin anything with your season. You'd like to win, no question.
Breakthrough?
It doesn't blow anything up, so you can put everything into that.
I'm all for it.
By the way, Urban Meyer doesn't mind putting very, very young players at skill positions and giving them the ball a lot. So Whoop. Those are the ones you might often mess up, too. We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. We've come to those last few minutes where we predict things and we frequently get things wrong. But that's okay, because we stick our necks out there and we make predictions just because that's what you do occasionally. And the prediction tonight is not about the Colts preseason game. It's only about the biggest game in college football on this tomorrow night, on Thursday night, at Memorial Stadium, Indiana, hosting number two Ohio State game day and everybody else in town for this. And Glass, we've talked a lot about the keys. We've talked about a lot about the talent they're up against and what IU's got returning here. It's just one of those weird happenings with all this stuff going on, and it's so unusual for Indiana football. They've got enough talent that if things go in their favor in a couple spots, and I'm talking, you know, like a 3-turnover type thing for Ohio State, that's not outrageous.
Takeaways, Dave.
That's not crazy. Whatever you want to call it. I'm not talking to the players. I can say what I want. They've got enough talent, IU does, enough playmakers on both sides of the ball. They can make some of that stuff happen. It's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Make plays. Do your job. Make plays. People want complicated answers. People want us to tell you with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter that Tigre Scales is going to jump a slant route, bobble the ball twice, break 3 tackles, and go 65 yards for a touchdown. Boy, wouldn't that be nice.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us are going to object to any of that. But what Indiana needs to do, simply, they need to control the football. They need to take time off the clock. They cannot leave their defense stranded on the field. How good they are does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
When you play 45 minutes or 40 minutes and the other team gets 20 minutes, you know how that's going to turn out, and it doesn't turn out well. The offense in this game is just as important for me as the defense being Indiana's defense from last year. This
sure.
offense has to produce, and that starts with number 21. No, not the freshman cornerback on defense, the quarterback, Richard Lego. He saw Ohio State last year. He saw the horseshoe. That's a big-time road game.
Yeah.
He's ingested that. He's been to the Manning passing camp. He's been to San Diego to do that. He has done some things to get him to a better place. All that hard work, could it translate tomorrow night? Absolutely it could. What's better than having a fifth-year senior quarterback? Not many people will tell you. Not many coaches will tell you. They would rather have something else. That's the key for me tomorrow night. As Richard Lego goes, Indiana's offense is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, I don't think you're going to have three backs run for 80-80-80.
Right.
Richard Lego is not going to have to win the football game.
Right.
He's going to have to move the offense.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to listen to what Mike DeBoard calls,
right.
And he will have to execute those plays. If he does so, and Indiana's defense is Indiana's defense, Dave, I could see the upset. I admit it. I'm a homer.
Yeah. Look, there's no reason that Indiana should win this football game if you look at the talent and the players. There isn't. You can't make that argument. I tell you that, you know, if things go in their favor, then they've got a chance. And
all you want's a chance.
I'm not confident of this, but I'm going to go with IU in this game because I just think there's enough weirdness with all of this stuff going on right
Unexplained
now.
Unexplained oddities.
It is absolutely a homer wish. There is no question about that, but we're the Bloomington, Indiana station. We can be homers. There's just so much going on around it.
If you're going to dream,
much weird stuff in their favor right now to not think something bleeds over into the game.
If you're going to dream, this is the game to do your dreaming.
Why not?
So you might as well embrace it. You might as well root them on to victory.
And nobody's going to kill us if we're wrong.
And if they have six turnovers and they throw the ball all over the field, they will get pounded.
Yes, absolutely.
There is we're not denying that.
If Indiana makes mistakes, it will be a four touchdown.
You don't need to give them any more field position or easy short fields or any defensive other scores. Do your job, take care of the football, and listen to your coaches, and just maybe have the ball at the end and make a play.
Hey,
and you never know.
You got some players.
Hoosiers win.
And, you know, we know how huge it would be, but let's have fun with it. Let's just do that.
What a Labor Day weekend starter that would be.
Let's have fun with it to start with, and then if it goes in your favor, we can all be really, 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 really happy. Music Means you got to head on out of here, folks. Monday's Labor Day, so have fun taking that off, as we will, and we will see you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.